If you're looking to get your hands on some RHAP t-shirts, hoodies, or apparel, you can still get orders in until Wednesday night. You can check those out and all of our holiday offers, including our Amazon links, all in one place. Go to robhasawebsite.com/gifts. That's robhasawebsite.com/gifts.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, Josh Wiggler.
He is Viggo.
Yeah. You like that Ghostbusters 2 reference, the Statue of Liberty on the move?
Oh, but I would. Yeah, of course. Oh, my God. I wish I'd been with you guys on the night of the know-it-alls breaking down my faves, GB2.
Yeah. Get some Bobby Brown going.
Yeah. Taking me higher and higher.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get the toaster to dance. That'll
get everything to dance. Yeah, let's spray the, happy slime. And slime is huge. Slime is having a big year, Josh.
It's a river of slime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how many followers a river of slime would have on Instagram right now?
I was going to make a joke about a certain somebody, but I'm not going to go there. not going to touch that hot toaster.
Slime is huge.
Had a hot take.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Josh, so here we are, wiggle room for week number 9. We've got a lot of stuff to get into, sort of a weird time shifted week with the exit press happening today on Monday. We've got a double episode on the horizon. So we are in very interesting times as we get into Survivor 35. First, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was fantastic. How was yours? Was it good? Was it great? Was it grand? Was it wonderful? No yelling on the bus?
Yeah. It was fine. It was relatively quiet, just me and Nicole and the boys, and we had some apple cider, and the boys just were fighting over that how much apple cider. They just wanted to just go Cole Meadows and just drink the whole half gallon of apple cider, and Nicole was like, no, they've had enough cider, and they were just like screaming, more juice!
Oh my God.
There's a lot going on.
Cider wars.
Yeah, and I think that combined the rest of my family ate like a quarter of a pound of turkey, and I've just been, eating the rest of it because I don't want to throw it away since Thursday.
So you're just exhausted. Like, yeah. You're just like constantly, like you're in an unending turkey coma.
I hate wasting food. I don't want to waste it. Like, I gotta. It's terrible.
Now, with the cider, was it like brinksmanship? Was it like, I want more cider than Anthony? Like, is Dominic trying to strong arm the cider away from his brother? Or it's like, you benefit if I benefit from drinking more cider, so we're both drinking as much cider as we can.
Nicole doesn't let them have a lot of juice, and then they just like lost it. They were like, it was like that, first hit of crack, and then they just wanted more and more. Not ideal. Anyway, Josh. So a lot to talk about. Of course, I haven't talked to you since we had the big news about this Austin Survivor Know-It-Alls that we have coming up, where we're going to be going full tilt, Josh Wiggler.
I am so upset. First of all, I love Austin, Texas. I wish I could be there just because I love that town. Great city. Austin's awesome. Somebody get to Franklin Barbecue, take some pics. Send them my way. Food haze me, please. Get to Uchiko if you feeling fancy. That's a great, really great restaurant on the outskirts. Paul Key, former Top Chef winner, was one of the cooks there once upon a time. That's my recommendation on the food side. But man, I'm going to miss Full Tilt Cowboy Colby Donaldson. What the F, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so upset. This is like the one time he's ever going to associate himself with Survivor again, too. So it's like, this is it. This is it. I'm missing out. Sucks.
Should be a lot of fun. Should be a star-studded show in Austin, Texas, coming up next Wednesday night. If you want to be there in person, robhasawebsite.com/AustinKIA, and the patrons have a $10 discount code available to them. But let's get into everything. Let's talk about our exit press day today here on Monday, where we checked in with Cole Meadows, and I found Cole to be in pretty good spirits, very reflective about his time in the game.
Cole Metters, polite young man. You know, I think he's generous with his time and with his insight and perspective that he has gained since his time on the show. I think that he is happy to point out his own flaws in the game, to point out where he could have zigged when he zagged. I thought he had some revealing comments about about Foodgate, and what may have been overblown versus what was accurate. And in terms of, you know, being thrown under the food cart, as it were, by one Ben Driebergen. Did he get into that with you at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but I feel like that the biggest headline of the day has to do with
his Thanksgiving intake. Yes. And he ate, because of course everyone had to ask him this, turkey, he had some ham, he had some sweet potato souffle, he had dressing and stuffing, so he had both versions.
What's dressing?
Dressing is also stuffing, basically, I think. I mean, I don't know who calls it dressing, must be a regional thing. I know I'm pissing somebody off as I'm saying these words right now. I think that they're the same, somebody please correct me if I'm wrong. Pecan pie, he said, and all the works. Mm-hmm. Wasn't willing to go all the way through with an all the fixings plug, but all the works is.
All right. Well, the big story that came out was that Dr. Mike's idol play at this past tribal council was a little more complicated than we got to see on the TV show. And really, we had been trying to figure out exactly what was Dr. Mike even doing. And so it seems that first there was the comments from Jeff Probst about how Dr. Mike's intention was to protect Joe. And then we find out that not only did he want to protect Joe by getting the votes onto Dr. Mike, but also that Dr. Mike had fashioned a fake idol, which he had handed to Joe so that they would not get the votes on them, or even more insurance.
How about that? Dr. Mike pulling a page out of the Bob Dog Crowley. That's his name, right? The Bob Crowley playbook. The David Wright more recently of the fake idols being created here. Very nice to see that. I like that, except we didn't actually see it on the show. So did it really happen, or is this just going to exist in our imagination?
That we don't know exactly why that, and maybe the reason for that will become apparent to us after we get into this episode coming up next week. But
I mean, there is physical evidence on the board. You know, Cole is talking about how Mike broke out this fake idol at Tribal Council. We were not privy to any of this. We did not get to see this, but I guess part of like his posturing and the whole like, being, you know, his whole Statue of Liberty speech and talking about how you guys are, getting on your moral high horses when it's really you who are being dishonest and manipulative. And apparently there was also this moment where Mike says, and by the way, I have an immunity idol. And by the way, I have a second idol, that he had created this fake idol based on, beads and, pieces of cloth and all of these little mini souvenirs that he, tchotchkes that he had acquired along the way from the other tribes that he had been on before the merge, and fashioned a fairly convincing looking fake idol, according to Cole at least, wrapped it up in the parchment that you get where you have like the instructions and the rules on what an immunity idol is, to make it look a little bit more authentic. And after Cole had laid this all out, I went back and I watched a little bit of that tribal council, and you do see right before that vote, right before they go to vote, like Joe is holding what appears to be some parchment that you would have an immunity idol wrapped up in. So I feel like that verifies the story. I don't feel like this is fake news.
Just in terms of why that might not be shown, again, we don't exactly know, but it could be the kind of thing where if like Mike never mentioned it like in an interview with production along the way and just sort of like did this like private, like off camera, and then at Tribal Council like whips out a second idol, which to the viewers at home, like we have no knowledge that it is a fake idol. Like it's the kind of thing that could be potentially very confusing for the TV audience. I mean, it was confusing for the TV audience what Mike was doing in the first place.
Yeah, for future reference, anyone who's going to play Survivor and is going to like do something like that, please speak about it in a confessional ahead of time.
Again,
so
that's
we're
just
not
a theory as to, you know, because sure, a lot of people are confused today. Like, why didn't we see something like that?
Sure, just not to say that that is what happened with Mike, but for anybody in the future who's going to play Survivor and pull off any kinds of shenanigans, please include the producer in the shenanigans in your confessional when you're speaking to camera, so that if your shenanigans go through, we get to see it, we get to see some of that setup, because otherwise it's very, very confusing. I don't know if that's what happened here with Mike, or if there's something more that's going to happen with this fake idol that apparently exists that's going to bear fruit in either the Reynolds twofer that we're coming in to on Wednesday night, or beyond that, hopefully, potentially, if Mike can last a little while longer, even though he has he really, really put himself on the line for Joe Mena, who, Lord knows, I have enjoyed the Joe show, but a lot on the line just to potentially preserve Joe's place in the game, it seems like. You know, Jeff talking about Mike wants to keep Joe around, and if Mike is, you know, attracting, you know, is making these gestures to get the votes thrown his way so that they are not placed on Joe. And it also came out in my interview with Cole that Cole was talking about how Mike kept coming up to Cole and being like, do you have an idol? If you have an idol tonight, Cole, we can really make something happen. And Cole, I guess, was kind of cagey with Mike and being like, I don't know, man, maybe I do have it. So I can imagine Mike maybe thought that Cole had an idol. So it all gets really, really complicated, but it feels like Mike put so much out there to save a guy like Joe, who, yeah, has rubbed people really, really raw. It seems like raw potato style. Like that, you know, he's a fun scene partner potentially, but you're burning your own idol in order to do that. And I understand, like, once you start the process of trying to attract the votes your way, yeah, play your idol just as a preventative measure. But do we even need to get to the preventative measure? I know Mike is always going to be an advocate for safety first. But I do feel like this was like, that was like overly cautious and perhaps needlessly so. So we got to see how all of that is going to fall out in the moment, and then the night that it played. And I'm getting messages from people who I know in my life who are now becoming Survivor fans asking me, is that the worst immunity idol play of all time? I don't know. It doesn't look great on that first watch, but I mean, there's obviously like some sort of like five-dimensional chess that seems to be going on here. I just don't know that 5D chess is a game you want to play, 20 some odd days into a game that starves deprives you of everything.
I'm playing five-dimensional chess. Everybody else out there, they're playing checkers.
Well, look, I'm happy to keep checkering this out. Like, I'm looking forward to finding out more in Wednesday night's episode of exactly what happened. I'm sure we're going to get, some sort of great confessional that Rob will have a field day impersonating all podcast season long, where Mike will explain exactly what he had up his sleeve. But in just the immediate aftermath of that episode, it was so confusing. And it's nice that the exit interview with Cole, it shined a little bit more light on exactly what was going on. But to me, I have to admit it is still pretty murky. It's a little bit over my head.
But you're right. We will know at 8:02 on Wednesday night. Either Dr. Mike will say, so Tribal Council went perfect, or he will say, I blew it. So we'll say, like, Cole went home, Joe stayed, we will base it 100% on Mike's spin coming out on Wednesday night. So maybe that's a note to future players, like, even if it goes wrong, be the Pee Wee Herman, I meant to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I don't know. I loved the whole moment, and this season has been, I know that it's been a little hit or miss for some people, and it's certainly been hit or miss for me in certain moments, but then there are moments where, just for me personally, and I know that I'm like a little too close to it, having like done like, putting First One Out together and having been out there for the preseason and getting that chance to spend like 40 some odd minutes with each of these people a day or two before they started off on this adventure. So pretty fresh to what we're seeing of their time here now on the show. It's really fun for me to see like some of those preseason moments like pay off on the show. And one of them is this whole thing with justifiable ethics and Mike busting out that speech about how, like, you know, just because something is the democratic favor, so to speak, doesn't mean it's the right thing, and bad behavior and civilization can't be tolerated, and people who are bullies or people who are just mean for the sake of being mean can't be tolerated. They have to be voted out no matter whose alliance they're in. These were all things that Mike was telling me, like, completely unprompted in our preseason interview. So just, like, to see those, you know, those moments echo onto the actual show, I find to be pretty fun. So I loved that whole Statue of Liberty speech. He didn't use the Statue of Liberty metaphor with me, unfortunately, but it was great to see that on the show. I thought it made for a hell of a TV moment. If not, like, the greatest gameplay of the season necessarily, at the very least, a really, really fun Tribal Council this episode.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we'll see how effective it is, but I feel like that in the bag of tricks of the Great Survivor player, I feel like that pointing out the hypocrisy of the you know, greater alliance, I feel like that's not necessarily like something that people end up saying, like, you know what, you're right, I am being a hypocrite, I am going to change up what I'm doing based on, you know, you've really pointed out the error in my ways. I feel like that's not necessarily something that we've seen work yet on Survivor. And, you know, it might help make Mike more of a fan favorite if the audience really sympathizes with him as like this underdog character who's pointing this out, like how everybody is really, you know, going about this the wrong way. So, I mean, there's a lot that needs to still be materialized in front of us about this Tribal Council, and hopefully we get those answers on Wednesday night. Now, also, Mike was talking a lot about the Knights of the Round Table, not the Knights of the Round Howard, and we
We saw this pizza on that table.
You know, Ben brought this up on the previous Tribal Council about how they make decisions, and you know, there's like seven knights of the round table. Josh, did you see the movie with Jax from the Sons of Anarchy about the King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table?
Oh, the Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah.
King Arthur, I believe it is just straight up King Arthur. There's got there has
Farm
to be a
Guy
subtitle,
69,
right?
Richie.
Wow, what a reach. What a reach. Was that the only reason you brought this up? Because you just wanted to get Farm Guy 69 Richie out of your system, and you didn't have another podcast to appear on with which to bust
it would
bust
never
that
come
out
again. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, this is another great opportunity for me to say Lancelot is is one of the members of the Knights of the Round Table, and are we sure that's not Landry a lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really inside for a podcast that Rob and I have recorded that you probably have not yet listened to.
Not yet.
But
not yet.
Really, really check out that postshowrecaps.com/iTunes to figure out what we're talking about in just a day or two.
Okay. But did you end up seeing that movie with the Knights of the Round Table? Because I'm not well versed in the Knights of the Round Table.
No. Definitely not. Definitely not. Listen, I'm so behind on movies this year anyway that, like, I can't spend that 2 hours. I haven't seen Fate of the Furious yet. I don't know why that's the first one I went to. I got to check out Lady Bird. There's a lot of movies out there that I haven't seen yet. So no, King Arthur was not on my radar. But I mean, I'm like somewhat familiar with King Arthur. Certainly I've seen the Sword and the Stone and the legends that you read about as a child of King Arthur, you know, pulling the sword out of the stone and he is worthy and all of that good stuff. And Merlin's a wizard. And I don't know who the wizard is in this alliance. Is that the actuary? Like, how have they assigned all of these names to themselves is what I'd like to know. I'd really like to do the deep dive into the Knights of the Round Howard Table later on at a podcast down the road.
Well, maybe you could tell me, because again, this is the podcast where we're talking about at least the story of the season. So how does the story of King Arthur play out?
Did you ever see First Knight? With Sean Connery, and he played King Arthur, and Richard Gere was Lancelot, not Landry a lot.
No, I have not seen that.
It ended poorly for King Arthur. Spoiler alert. He has a moment where it seems like he's going to bend the knee, and then he chooses not to bend the knee, and he goes, we fight, never surrender. Mm-hmm. And then he gets shot in the chest with a crossbow.
Oh, my God.
If we're following First Knight rules, it could be, you know, it could be First Knight Fall here pretty shortly.
Yeah. Now, I've seen the Arthur movies with Dudley Moore. Is that anything like King Arthur?
What about the Russell Brand remake? Is really the one.
No, forget that. That never happened.
Russell Brand.
That's not canon. That's not canon.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of talk this week about one player in particular. And I have to give Stephen Fishback the credit for at least bringing it to the forefront of the conversation this week. And that's somebody that you and I had a lengthy conversation about. Going all the way back to the preseason, and that would be your boy, Devin Pinto, who has really come into the spotlight where a lot of people feel like that could he potentially be this strategic mastermind, this wolf in surfer dude clothing?
Right. So I have a confession to make, Rob.
Okay.
There are thousands of hours of podcasts a week on RHAP alone, let alone the Survivor community. I have to admit that I don't listen to every single one. I can't. I'm not able to ingest it all every single week. I try where I can. You know, I do my best. But Rob, you are the founder of this empire. You are the King Arthur of the Rahap Table. Are you not?
I guess I would be the King Arthur of the Rahap Table.
Did you not listen to First One Out? Did you not listen to even the interview that you and I did with Devin that we talked around in the preseason where he straight up says, I have a dumb sounding surfer voice that I'm going to use to my advantage. I come off like a dumb beach bum surfer guy.
Is that a direct quote? Is that a direct quote?
I don't think it's a direct quote. It's a paraphrase. And it's in the First One Out interview with Devin Pinto, which you can check out. I believe it is evergreen content. And he talked about that. Like, he straight up talked about how, like, there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye. I'm a finance guy. Like, I've always been, or I tried my hand in finance, didn't like that world, but I've always been really good with math. I've always been really good with numbers. I mean, is he shining me on in that moment, or is there something there? I think as we are starting to see with Devin more and more on the show, and I
Dudley
think
Moore,
that
you say?
Yeah, we're seeing Dudley Moore on the show, which would be really interesting for a lot of reasons. I don't know how that would work out, but you know, Steven, I think both on Know It Alls this week and also in his People blog, I think he really artfully talked about like the Keanu-ness of Devin, and Devin having that moment where he's sitting there with King Arthur, aka Ben Dreebergen, and Ben is revealing to Devin what Ryan had told him, which Ryan had also previously told Devin, this information about the immunity idol. And I think that there really is something to the way that Devin is so lax and laid back and kind of gets you disarmed and kind of gets you to just reveal things to him because maybe you don't necessarily think that there's a ton going on in, you know, behind that surfer bro persona that he does, you know, not just project, I think, as a fiction, but I do think, as Steven also pointed out, like, that's probably largely him, but that doesn't mean he's a dummy. And I think that in the reaction to Ben revealing that Ryan has an idol, Devin not revealing his side of already knowing that, I thought that was really, really shrewd. So yeah, I'm all aboard the Devin is smarter than he seems hype train. I started that.
Do you hear that?
Is that the hype train?
I think it's coming.
It's been here. We've been here.
It's coming.
All aboard before we leave the devastation! Get on!
That's it. The Devin hype train is leaving the station. Get on.
Is this like a time traveling train, like Back to the Future 3? Mm-hmm. It's about your kids, Marty. Oh my God! Are Jules and Vern on this train as well? Don't look at what Vern's doing. Don't go back and check that out. It's dark, very dark.
Pointing
very
at dark. The Jules, yeah. So
yes.
So I mean, that are we telling the story of how Devin came to Survivor and everybody out there, Rob Cesternino included, all thought that underestimated this guy and he was the ultimate hustler and he played us all?
I mean... Listen, we've got enough like sound components on the Wiggle Room. You know, we gotta let's rein it in just for a moment.
Let's just train it in.
How to train your Devin. Look, I think that he is definitely smarter than you have given him credit for, and I've said that from the beginning in our conversations with Devin Pinto, that I think that he is a lot more Jay than Taylor, and I think even that might be doing a disservice to sort of the braininess of Devin Pinto. I think that he is a lot smarter than you would give him credit for, and I think that he is a lot more mentally involved in the game than he's probably getting credit for from somebody like Ben, who is going to open up to Devin about what Ryan has told him. Like, I have to imagine a factor in why he is choosing Devin to spill these beans toward is because Devin comes across as like, yeah, shaka bra. Like, I think that that is something that he's, you know, I think is naturally part of him, but also something that is very much being put out there. Is it fan fiction? Call it fan fiction if you want, Rob. But I do think that, like, he said it in the preseason. Mm-hmm. He said it to me that this is definitely something that he wanted to wield to his advantage. This is an advantage that he has, this kind of goofy, you know, sort of, you know, like a kind of like, I don't know, I'm trying to find the right word, like not whimsical, but he has this sort of like very relaxed persona. And I think that that is playing to his advantage. I do think that that's something that disarms people. In talking to all of those players about their first impressions of their competitors based on wordless interactions, just based on the sights and sounds that they are getting at Ponderosa and in the pregame, almost to a person, everyone said Devin seems like a really laid back, chill guy that just wants to have a fun time and somebody that I feel like I'm connecting with. Devin back then talked about how he's putting out those types of vibes at Ponderosa, where he doesn't want to give anyone too much attention, but wants to give everyone just the right amount of attention because he doesn't know how the tribes are going to shake out. And he doesn't know which tribe he's going to land on and which mix of people he's going to be with. And he doesn't want to have rubbed anybody the wrong way in case he winds up on a tribe with five people he's rubbed wrong. So I think that Devin has been playing from the start, and I think it's coming into the fore more and more on the show. I'm all about it. I know, you know, the Devin man crush thing, it's funny, it's great, but I also have a lot of respect for him as a player. Let's see him get burned this coming week, I'm sure, because I'm giving him all of this hype right now. But at the very least, I thought that he had a great episode, and I do think you've been snoozing on Devin.
I just want to say for the record, I am not a anti-Devin, and I'm not saying that it is impossible that is what is going on here. But I feel like that, does he have a Fabio upside? I think absolutely. And we've seen that somebody could end up sort of like just not give anything away, get to the end, win challenges, be likable. I definitely think that he has that upside. I'm just saying I am still a little cautious to saying that he is masterminding this whole thing, because we have yet to see him make the move to sort of like pull this off. So is Fabio upside? Absolutely. I am just still being cautious before I am anointing him as this amazing player who is pulling all the strings.
And I'm not saying that he's pulling all the strings, and I'm not saying that he's masterminding everything, but I think that Fabio up... Damn it, Rob. I'm saying that I think that Fabio upside is selling him short, which I know is
Fabio
a ridiculous
won.
Thing to say, because Fabio won, of course.
Top 25 winner.
But with all due respect.
Not at this point, probably.
Not
top
at
30
this point,
winner.
Definitely
top
not,
30.
Definitely not. Did he go to top 25 in no Evolution of Strategy spoilers?
Sorry.
Buy the book. But I think that with all due respect to the great Judd Berza, not to be a damn scumbag to confuse my Judds for a moment here, I think that from sitting across from the guy and having a conversation with him and, you know, experiencing those vibes, like the laid back dude, surfer dude vibes that he definitely has, and also hearing a little bit about what his truth is in terms of how he views Survivor and how he's going to play the game and how he wants to play the game, I personally registered from him somebody who is very likable and someone who's a lot sharper than he looks. And I'm a Fabio fan. I think that that was a great character character in Survivor Nicaragua, but I don't know that I would say that he was much sharper than he looks. I think that Devin is a lot sharper than he looks. We'll see if that all comes together into a full package, but I think that he's a better player than you're giving him credit for, and he's certainly not as good of a player as you seem to be thinking that I'm giving him credit for. I do not think that he is the mastermind of any larger scheme other than I think he's really measured and in control of himself and how he's projecting himself and the information he's receiving in kind.
It'll be fun to see. I think that there is a little bit of a vacuum that is still there, and I think that there are a lot of people that are sort of like filling in that vacuum of the unknown with, okay, oh, genius, mastermind, that he's putting it all together, pulling all the strings. I'm just saying I'm a wait and see. I'm not saying it's not there, but I'm still saying that. Call me Doubting Rob Thomas here.
Well, Doubting Rob Thomas, doubt away. I don't know. I don't know what more to say other than I believe in Devin Pinto.
Anything else you want to talk about from this latest episode of Survivor?
No, we can get to the wand offs. If there's more for me on this episode or just on this season of Survivor in general that you want to engage in, I did the power rankings with the great Matt Liguori this week, who's been doing power rankings on RHAP on the blogs. So that was really fun. I got to fire off some of the hot takes I've got about this season. Ooh. In talking with Matt. Laid out a couple of the people that I think might be winner candidates, did my power rankings, which I'm sure will be wildly wrong, but had a really fun time doing that with Matt, who's doing a great job on the blog. So check that out, robhasawebsite.com, if you want to read more wiggle tape.
I'll give you even more specific, robhasawebsite.com/blog to go check that out. We're going to get to the wand off here in just a second, but I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the wand off, and it's how about a meet cute, Josh?
I love Meet Cute. Especially appropriate with this being Cole's exit episode we're discussing.
Because this week's episode of The Wiggle Room is sponsored by Omaha Steaks. Of course, that Omaha Steaks is a fantastic gift for anybody that's on your list, especially at Cole Metters, if he's somebody that you are shopping for in your Secret Survivor Santa. Because if you're looking for the perfect gift for someone who has it all, Omaha Steaks is the way to go, because Omaha Steaks are delicious any time of year. You don't have to go on Survivor to get a great steak. For only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the promo code Rob in the search bar. You get 75% off over 500 gourmet gift ideas to create great steak experiences in the home. The most flavorful, tender, aged beef, plus seafood, poultry, pork, veal, lamb, veggies, desserts, appetizers. Does that sound like Jeff?
You sounded really close to Jeff. I was actually thinking
pasta,
he was in the room with us.
Soups, seasonings, sauces, and so much more. Those are for Carter. Convenient and quick shopping for those on your list. Age for 21 days to unlock the full flavor of the cuts. Hand-trimmed, vacuum-sealed, online recipes, wine pairings, and more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings just to the listeners of this podcast. Listen to what you get in this package for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet. Plus, you get four additional kielbasa sausages for free. Just go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code Rob in the search bar, and get 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit, just like this.
Stop right there! You wanna know right now! Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here, it would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice! It's the Wanda! It's the Wanda forever if you need to! You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life! Ha ha ha.
Oh my God. Got any meatloaf in those Omaha steaks?
You can make it, I think, if you ground up some of that meat.
Yeah, if you stop right there.
Turned out to meat nice. Okay.
Yes, yes.
That is the tagline for Omaha Steaks this holiday season. Okay.
Perfect.
I heard Wanda was on Reddit this week. She's very upset that there were some people that were unhappy with the wand off.
I'm over it. I don't know what you're talking about. No idea what you're talking about. I did not go on Reddit this week. I just played Super Smash Brothers in my own apartment. And that was that.
Yeah. Did you get the Switch?
No, I haven't gotten the Switch yet. Got to get the Switch. Okay. I'm thinking about getting the Switch, but I feel like my life is going to end when I get the Switch. Like I'm just going to avoid all of my responsibilities.
It's going to be too fun.
Not going to show up on the podcast.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah, Save it for the off season.
I can't do it. I can't video game. It's just all consuming. It's not going to happen for me. I know myself too well.
Okay. So, Josh, let's talk about last week's wand off. I guess, should we pick things up with the controversy from last week's wand off?
Yeah. So can you reset what the controversy is? Because indeed, it is controversial.
Yeah. Okay. So we had a big controversy, which was about a song from one of our listeners, Adam, who ended up writing a song which ended up really going viral and becoming extremely popular. Even Survivor Joe Mena tweeted about how this song, when it was disqualified from the wand off for going over the length of the standard wand off entry, that he himself was outraged about it. Even was recording a video.
Oh, well, done steaks. Things why we kept in the douchey guy. Now, this is fire in here. I mean,
some carpool karaoke action.
Oh my God. Yeah, the wand-offs are such a hit that the survivors themselves are recording wand-off covers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at this point in the season. So if you're asking if the wand-offs are ever leaving, the answer is no, never, certainly never. Yeah, listen, this was controversial, and I was with you. You know, when we recorded the podcast, I was on board with this, that, you know, we did set this out at the beginning of the season. We said, you know, 30 seconds, a minute at most. We really don't want the songs to go over that length. But even like in the immediate twilight, the Twilight Tanner of making that call on the podcast, I felt like we were the douchey guy, you know, like I felt like we made the wrong call. Like the quality of that song was just so spectacular. Yeah. And Adam just has the true voice of an angel that I feel like there's gotta be some wiggle room on a week where wiggle room was said twice on Survivor. I feel like some wiggle room here must be allowed with the rules.
Well, just to give you a little more insight into the decision I made, and I gotta be honest that sometimes I get a little spun around by the feedback in doing the podcast. I feel like that most of the time, I feel like I know where True North is, and I feel like I try to steer the podcast in that way. But the wand off has really been one of the most polarizing things that we've ever done, because we get so much feedback.
Yeah, this is like True North beyond the wall.
Right.
To the point where, like, the North is the South.
We get so much feedback from people. The wand off gives me life. It's the highlight of my week. Please don't ever stop the wand off. Make it longer. And then I also get feedback from people that is, end the wand off. Why is it so long that not all the songs are good? Why do you let them play for so long? And so I really was, you know, when we get a 2-minute wand off entry, like, I know that the last minute is gold. And then I sort of was stuck there. So that was why I made the decision that I made. So do you have a ruling on this? Obviously that song was not available for people to vote on.
Right. It was not available for people to vote on. I'll say a couple of things on that is I'm out I don't even want to talk about the complaining about the wand off anymore, because I think that it's a vocal minority is how I am choosing to view it, and I don't like that we are giving that voice every single week. So I'm done with that. That's over. No mas on that front. Wandoff is here. Wandoff is happening. It's what I want to do, and you're just going to have to deal with it. So there's that. And yeah, I think that the ruling on the field is like, look, I don't have any input in the songs that are selected for the Wandoffs. That's all a you thing. I am just here absorbing the great energy of the music that the wonderful listeners of this podcast and the ridiculously creative and funny fans in the Survivor community are sending our way. But I feel like as the wiggler of the wiggle room, that I feel like I should be allowed like that, like one, like save a contestant per season that like Tim Gunn gets on Project Runway. And I'm saving Adam, and I'm sending Adam straight to the final one.
Okay. All right.
That's a ruling on the field. Like that guy way too good. Frankly, like go to The Voice, go to American Idol. You're better than the Wandoff, but if you want to be here, of course, we are lucky to have you.
Okay. All right.
The ruling on the field.
That's the ruling on the field of the update from last week. All right. In terms of the contestants that you could vote on, the tabulator put things together. And the tabulator wanted me to pass along the message to remind the listeners that you can only vote once. That the idea here is only vote once for your favorite artist that you can vote. I think that's one time per device that you have to vote on the Wandoff. Tabulator did need to clean up the results a little bit. He thought that there was some maybe some impropriety coming from one IP address. Somebody's trying to stuff the ballot box.
Unbelievable. Just like, yeah.
He got to wake up pretty early in the morning to get one over on the tabulator. All right. special thanks to Kurt Clark. Okay. Top three from last week. Number three with 14% of the vote. Shannon Gates with Weasel with an Idol. Number two from last week was the holiday themed You're a Keen One, Ryan Ulrich. I thought that the holiday spirit might, but that's, you know, people that might,
that's appropriate,
little,
right?
The Christmas some creep might have affected that one.
Getting a little grinchy towards that, I feel, is apropos.
Yes. And the winner of the Wandoff from last week is actually somebody who is our returning champion. The winner of last week's Wandoff was Alex G with the Hursler Crew.
The camp isn't the best place to find an idol, so rewards are where I go. Me and myself at the table, thinking thoughts, drinking fast, and then searching slow. Chrissy comes over and starts up a conversation with just me.
All right, so congratulations to Alex, who won for the Panic at the Disco in week 7. All right, so here we are. Let's get into what we got for week number 9. And let me turn it over to Casey Kasem, because this is such an exciting week on the Wandoff, because really, it was very hard. It was that there was a battle to get into the honorable, dishonorable mentions this week.
Whoa.
Let alone the Wandoff, that we're getting in so much incredible stuff. I would say, you know, we've talked about the length. That's a you know, an important note. I also would say to listen back to the Wandoffs from earlier in the season, because if you're sending us a song that we've already done before, you better have sort of like reinvented the wheel on the songs that we've already aired so far.
Are
this
you
season.
Throwing shade at the Wanda Rotzi?
Well, no, Wanda is an exception to the rule. But you know, if we've already done song parodies of a certain song, you know, that it needs to really pop for us to do it again.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, let your heart be your guide and all that good stuff. But I think just as a rule, I think what you're saying, it makes sense.
All right, so we've got a lot of entries, and the listeners of the podcast really were infatuated with a couple of things. One of them was what's in Ryan's pants. And we'll start the Wandoff this week listening to a song from Maybe Sam's about those said pants.
I found the darn clue by chance. Survivor gameplay enhanced. I got the idol in my pants. It's in my pants. I got the idol in my pants. It's in my pants.
It's in my pants.
That was the latest jam from Kelly Bruno Mars.
I know it's not Bruno, but I will say very nice. Oh, that's good.
Sometimes like that. A wand-off idea, lightning can strike twice. That's what happened this week with Chad Yu and Shut Up Tim. So I present to you this mashup about Ryan's pants.
In your pants, in your pants, Ryan has an idol in his pants.
No. Cut it. Cut it. Cut it. Is that real? Tim, shut up. Shut up, Tim. Finally. Finally one that even I can't tolerate. That was garbage.
That was the Cran Julie Berry.
Gross. Gross. Throw it in the fire. Kill it with fire. That's the worst. That is like a very valid argument for why the wand-off should not exist. Terrible. Terrible. Atrocious. The worst. The worst of the worst you've ever done, Shut Up Tim. Absolutely horrible. Unbelievable. Shut up forever. Except for next week. Please come back.
One more about Ryan and his pants. Here's Summer.
In my pants. You wanna see my pants? I'll strip like JP. My pants. I see the path. My pants to the final tribal. My pants.
That was Peter Harkey, Gabriel Cade.
Oh, God. Peter Harkey, Gabriel Cade. He appeared once upon a time in a wiggle room long ago, I feel like. I believe Dr. Peter Bagginstos might know a thing or two about that.
Rebecca, as well, wanted to weigh in on Ryan and his untrustworthiness.
Told me, hey, it's in my pants, you're my final two. Don't tell another soul.
That was the latest from Carrie Ashley Underwood as well.
Thank God that's where you went. Makes me realize there is an evolution of strategy joke that is not going to hold up well.
Hold up, bro. All right. In addition to Ryan and what's in his pants, the listeners wanted to talk about Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike really got himself into some trouble. In fact, with that shovel, he ended up digging himself a hole, and that's what Dan wants to talk about.
Dig myself deep, deeper than Joe.
I just like that song. From Truck 108 Radiohead.
You've had better, but I chuckled.
But the listeners are obsessed with Dr. Mike. Here's Jim.
Dr. Mike. His wife wants Ethan Zahn. Will he survive? Well, I'm not sure, but he can fix your schlong.
Oh my God, that was that's a secret favorite. I love Dr. My Eyes. Never would have expected that song on a wand off. But of course, it fits. The lyrics are perfect for it. That was great. Personal favorite of the night so far.
That was an oldie but a goodie from Patricia Jackson Brown.
Damn, Casey with the deep pulls tonight. Great.
All right. And last but not least in the honorable mentions, one that just missed the cut of this week's wand off. Here's Austin from Australia.
Mike, the man bit surgeon, lived by the sea, where there the knights of Solewa would not let healers be. Little Joey Mena and Doc rolled up their buffs, They hatched a scheme of acting mean and calling moral bluffs. Oh, Mike, the man-bit surgeon, his moves puzzle me. How do idle plays and voting coal help Lady Liberty? Like his favorite certain George R.R. fantasy, the game has thrown a nasty lot for good Doc Zahalski.
I'm going to sing that one to my kids before they go to bed tonight.
Don't. But Mike the Man-Bit Surgeon is inspired. That is delightful. And the voice of like a true true bard. You know, I really felt like we were in the Red Keep with Joffrey checking out, what's his face?
Some
I forget the name of that guy.
Are really beautiful.
Yeah, God, it brings a tear to my eye.
Demented,
I'm not saying,
but beautiful.
Like, yeah, I don't want to pull that man's tongue out or anything, but that was delightful. That was
Austin from Australia.
Good job, Austin. That was really funny.
All right, now it's time for this week's top five. Josh, we've got some good news because...
Ooh, what's that?
There was a wand off artist scorned last week, but he got up off the mat just like Dr. Mike hopes to do. Here is the creator of last week's They Kept In the Douchey Guy. He's back with a song all about coal.
Balance a vase upon a beam. Ashley, sorry that your mania did not go away today. Ooh, I know he said you were a goat, but Ben gets his way. And now that the healers are two, the seven will soon be betrayed.
There you go.
Wow. Oh my God, welcome back to the party. I gotta say, this seems like a setup for a joke, but just some real talk, just some personal revelations. Did you know, Rob, you and I know each other pretty well now, and I always love when I get to reveal something about myself that you maybe don't know already. Did you know that Kiss from a Rose by Seal was my first dance at my wedding? Because Emily and I, like, we didn't want to take it too seriously, and we both love Kiss from a Rose by Seal, so why not? So we danced our stupid faces off, and we were also very hungover during our wedding party from the night before.
Whoa.
That's neither here nor there. Yeah, this is a long night. The long night. So yeah, Seal, Kiss from a Rose, Batman Forever, a place in my heart. Big fan. Love that. Welcome back to the show.
And a big shout out to Adam B with an entry that was exactly 60 seconds. It could be a minute 15. Two minutes. I gotta draw the line. Okay.
All the rules.
All right. Another classic wand off pair back this week. And this is not an original entry, but in fact, a song parody. Here's JD and Leah talking about a potential wipeout of an entire tribe.
This thing right here is letting all the healers know what the round table talk about. You know, who's gonna go next? Check it out.
Settle in for some analysis. Brought some people on a beach in the Pacific. Dr. Mike's out of play, kind of went amiss. Should've kept it in his coat and shut his lips. Been running things, calling all the shots. Supposed to feel in steamroll, he said no they're not. It's giving Ashley some second thoughts, cause she was making her feel all loca.
Cole is looking pretty stuck.
Ashley's wishing Joe's cut.
Reward, please shut the butt.
I think we'll sing it again.
Cole is looking pretty stuck.
Ashley's wishing Joe's cut. Seven strong. Healers getting put on. Baby, devil's got the tally votes. Put gong. Desi, Jessica, and Cole. Leaving only Mike and Joe. Devil's got the tally votes. Put gong.
That was Jason Sisko back again with the Pagong song.
Gotta say, as somebody who has produced the legendary Siskoch in the equally legendary Korong song, the first song to ever appear in the Wiggle Room, and I think one of the better of the original Wiggle Room musical numbers, I can attest to the fact that that is a difficult song to achieve, to pull off. Lots of moving parts, little harmonies that you want to hit, little like tiny quiet vocals that are just like hidden in the background that you want to include if you can. So mad respect for anyone who even attempts to go into Korong song territory, because that is the original name.
This is a tough wand off this week.
Never. It's a hard wand off. Very difficult choices that lie ahead for you voters. And I haven't even listened to the next three.
Okay. This week's number three wand off entry comes to us from one of our listeners, Jason, who is very puzzled about Dr. Mike's vote this week.
Mike used his idol Putfo Tig for coal. Now all the fans say, why'd Mike vote that way? Ben was King Arthur in Mike's weird metaphor, and he was the Statue of Liberty. So why'd Mike vote that way? And we hoped it'd be a good play, and but it ain't nothing but a mistake. And now we all want to hear Mike say why he voted that way.
That was the latest from the Fishback Street Boy.
I like that. Oh, my God. I don't know. There's a Nick Carter.
Yeah, Nick
sauces.
Carter Williams. Yep.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Number four this week is somebody who's already going to the final wand off. He's back as a solo artist. Here he is with some Coaling for Soup.
Season's bit so repetitive, I can't keep going, it's such a chore. And when the discussion is about whether Chrissy hates women, it just makes me say, how to get this way? Why can't we all just have fun, guys?
Yeah, shut up, Will.
The whole damn tribe is oblivious to who's run that check and who's number six. Ashley, JP, they're not on our screens. They might as well be heroes four and three. As the healers waste their idols and the heroes won't turn on Ben, we just gotta hope that Warren's there in the end. A healer's gone again.
That was Will from America, not from Britain, like the Knights of the Round Table.
Is that the first appearance of Will from America? First solo appearance of Will from America here on the podcast.
First solo entry into the wand off.
That was great. That was fantastic. Will, we don't hear from you enough around these parts. That was really, you're got great chops.
Okay.
Great chops. Great chops on Will from America.
And now, number five. It's our two-time returning wand off champion, Alex G., who's back to defend his title. Here he is.
Return of the mic. First it was Rourke, it was Jess, it was Desi, now it's Cole. Looking for a better way to get himself ahead instead of sitting in a cold sweat and watching all the healers blow up. Post-merge Joe is talking, social gram crumbles, gotta be cautious. Weasel my way into Ben's posse, out of blame, nope, y'all can't get me up. Bad. cock blocking your plans to vote for me on the Statue of Liberty. Getting to the finale, the round table. They strategize and split the votes onto everyone they blindside, but I'm still fighting strong. It's up to me and Joe now to turn it around. Got that Dr. Mike suit game and puzzles on my style. Idols stay in my jacket and pull it out when the vote goes down, and I play back to keep my torch lit right here, standing proud. I help with erectile D-Y-S-F-U-N-C-T-I-O-N dysfunction. Help men with a dream since they were 14, and the round table's discussing halfway through that merge. But when they chat, hate that Ben calls the shots around here. Now I can't trust no one. Gotta get in with these people, build allies across the island, find more idols out here. Now I can't trust no one. Gotta get in with these people, build allies across the island. When the hurstlers crack, that will be the moment. When the timing is right, I'll keep my composure. But tonight my idols up like the hurstlers can't vote us, but they actually own us. When the hurstlers crack, that will be the moment. When the timing is right, I'll keep my composure. But tonight my idols up like the hurstlers can't vote us, but they actually own us.
That was Macklemore and Skinny Ryan Lewis.
You are having a great time. This is a great night. This is a good time.
I do all afternoon.
Oh my God. Listen, I think
your
that
patron
you
dollars
are,
hard at work.
Hard at work. This is what she paid for. You bought this. Now we broke it. You bought it. We broke it. Unbelievable. Great wand offs this week. Alex G on fire once again. Everybody, Dan Fuego this week. Just spectacular stuff.
Yeah, I want to apologize to people that I couldn't even get into the honorable mentions. Otherwise, this would be a 2-hour wand off that we get. Oh, we're getting some, that the level of work, the stuff that's not even getting in is incredible. You guys are amazing.
The good news is that, you know, when we're going to do the final wand off, like, we can have a 2-hour wand off podcast with just like endless honorable mentions. So, you know, our DMs are open, so to speak, when it comes to the final wand off. So it'll be fun.
All right. So do we have a hashtag for today?
Oh, my God. I mean, we were all aboard the Devin Pinto hype train.
Well, there's the Devin Pinto hype train and, of course, Farm Guy 69 Richie.
Yeah. Farm Guy 69 Richie. And see if that catches Dale's attention at all.
He'll be into it.
How are you, Mr. Wentworth?
Okay. Be sure to check out, of course, we know you guys are going to watch 2-Hour Survivor coming up on Wednesday night, but the Survivor Know-It-Alls will be on at 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time, so be on the lookout for that. Of course, if you missed it this weekend, they had some great podcasts over the holiday weekend. We had Tyson Apostle joining me. I talked to him on Friday, and then over the weekend as well, another winner, Sophie G. Clark. If you missed either of those, be sure to check those out as well. All the stuff that Josh Wigler is filing away for the Hollywood Reporter. You follow him on Twitter at Round Howard, and be sure to check in what Josh Wigler and I are doing on post-show recaps in terms of our rewatch of Game of Thrones. It doesn't really take place in Britain, but you could pretend it does. It's kind of like King Arthur and the Round Table.
Similar
ideas.
Very medieval week for you and I in terms of our podcasting content, I feel like.
Yeah. Be sure to check out everything going on, postshowrecaps.com. Josh, anything else you want to direct people to?
No, I'm having a blast here. I'm having such a good time in the Wiggle Room this season. This has been so funny for me. It's a highlight of the week getting to hear everybody's ridiculous nonsense, except this week, legitimately, shut up, Tim. That was the worst. That was like the worst thing I've ever heard. But everybody else did so well this week, and it was so much fun. And I'm having a blast. And of course, we've got, clearly our obligatory Wanderazzi to close things out with. So stick around. Such a great time here, Rob. I think we've hit our stride.
Good.
We've made it. We're here. It's happening. It's real.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Looking forward to all of your comments and tweets. And now, play us out, Wanda Sherk.
Wiggle Room exclusive time.
Hit it, Wanda.